In the name of the King, Jesus Christ, amen. In the reading from Luke's Gospel, you've heard the message of the angel hosts to the shepherds out on a starlit hilltop outside of Bethlehem. It's a story you yourselves have heard since you were babies. Too young to grasp the meaning of the story in your life. This is the story you repeat at home and bring to your children and your grandchildren to hear year after year. It seems after repeating it every year, you'd become bored or tired with the story and with the same kinds of songs and decorations and hoopla year after year after year. But this is not that kind of story. Maybe that's what makes the announcement of the angel hosts to the shepherds so marvelous and astounding. The gift that's offered on that cold night in Bethlehem isn't like all the gifts that you've spent countless hours at the mall or searching online to find. Now your credit card is full and you have to spend well into next year paying it all off. No, this kind of special gift on this special night is different. It's a free gift. Unto you is born in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. No strings attached. And the gift that is announced to the shepherds isn't just for the shepherds. It's for you, too. The gift of God made man on that starry night so long ago is so marvelous a gift that you want to hear about it year after year. You yearn for the message of redemption that is in this marvelous announcement of the angels. Why this gift? In the words of Luther, what does this mean? Well, the gift isn't something that you've seen in a catalog or an advertisement and thought, oh, that's cool. You need this gift. As a born sinner, even as a young child, you heard this story with longing ears to know that the sin of your ancestors that is born in you would be forgiven. You long for this forgiveness even more than the new toy tractor that when most of you were children, or the PlayStation that is longed for today. This gift is something more practical. The kind of gift my mother used to tell me to ask for, you know, underwear or socks. Now, I'm not comparing the gift of salvation to a pair of underwear or socks, but both have practical implications. You need this gift. Jesus came to share the misery of human existence so that the joy of everlasting life, known only to Him, could be with you. This gift is so large, so magnificent, the world can't contain it. Rulers have tried. From the Old Testament Israel, when the chosen people of God were taken into captivity and such places as Babylon, to the persecution of the early Christians by the pagan Romans, to what Luther calls the Babylonian captivity of the church under the control of corrupt men in control of the papal office. And the persecution of God and His bride, the church, continues today with efforts to remove Christmas celebrations from the public square, to remove God from even being broadcast on the airwaves of radio or television. And yet by all the efforts of the devil and by evil men, this great gift of gospel made man in Jesus endures. The mystery of human existence cannot destroy the joy of everlasting life that is brought to you from Jesus. When the shepherds first saw Jesus lying in that manger in the stable, They must have been reminded of the miserable condition of human existence that would allow this tiny baby to be housed under such conditions. How weak and helpless this newborn baby Jesus looked, so poor and small, in a feed bunk where animals had eaten only a short time before. And yet, they knew that somehow this poor, small baby was too special to be contained by that manger. They knew by the splendor of the announcement that they'd received early in the evening that this is no normal baby boy. This King of Kings and Lord of Lords is fit for a palace that cannot be contained on earth, even if the earth were 1,000 times better than it already is, with gold and jewels bedazzling a throne room never before constructed on earth, it wouldn't be grand enough to hold this great gift to mankind. The shepherds recognized the miserable conditions that our Savior was relegated to, and they knew that He was deserving of much more. The conditions they found Him in were filthy, and so far below what He deserved. But it's the sin of the world, your sins too, that condemned Him into this lowly birth and the miserable conditions that He had to endure during His life on earth. The tortures that He suffered during the last days of His life were brought about the sins that have condemned you to your own miserable existence on earth. The pain and torture of loss and separation and sickness and pain that you endure are no different than Jesus felt when He lived on the earth. He felt the loss of loved ones and was compassionate to the sick and lame, and He healed as many as He came into contact with that believed in Him. And so His life becomes a beacon of truth to you of how simple means and lowly life can be overcome by the greatness of salvation. The worldly honor, wealth, and might are weak and worthless in the sight of God. God has crushed kingdoms whose evil has tried to overcome Him. He only allows pain and suffering to continue as punishment for the sins of Adam and Eve, and they will only continue until Jesus returns in all of His glory to gather up His elect unto Himself and finally into heaven. And so you beg forgiveness for the sins you committed. You ask the Holy Spirit to comfort you and give you faith via the gospel, via the sacraments of the church that were given to her for that purpose. You beg that the Holy Spirit would prepare a place in your heart in order that Jesus might rest and heal and be a quiet place that will give you peace. For when Jesus is there, sin cannot be. When Jesus guides your heart and your mind, then your intentions and your deeds are only focused on service to God and His kingdom, to the service of your fellow man. That's how you can obey Jesus' command to go teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. It's through this mighty love that resides in your heart, given to you in this gift called Jesus, that you want to go tell it on a mountain. This love is consuming and will not allow you to keep silent. You will be compelled and driven to live your life in a constant sermon that proclaims God's eternal love to you. You'll be jumping for joy with the gladness of salvation in your heart. Just like kids at a Christmas program, ready to sing and shout and smile about the good news of salvation that is yours in Jesus Christ. Now this is a wonderful life. No angels getting wings because of a bell ringing or anything like that. This is a new life in Jesus that's beginning a glad new year in all the earth. Glory to God in the highest, unto us His Son He has given. Amen. And the peace of God, that peace that passes all human understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus till He returns again in glory. Amen.